Once upon a time, there was a king, Ambarish, who was the emperor of the entire world. But he was fully aware that everything is temporary, and he had unbroken love for the Lord and his devotees. He didn't place much significance on material things. He thought that were rather trifling. Of course, it was famous that he engaged in all the different limbs of devotion. That verse is there. Actually, there's three separate verses to describe the various devotionally connected activities of Ambarish Maharaj. Bhagavat Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 4, 18, 19, and 20. Prabhupada would regularly chant the first two lines of verse 9, 4, 18, because the first two lines, that's everything. The mind was fixed on Krishna. And if the mind is fixed on Krishna, naturally all the other senses and bodily parts will be duly engaged on the center point. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane karo harir mandira marjanadishu Shrutim chakra chakara chuta sat katodaye Shrutim chakara chuta sat katodaye. Ambarish Maharaj always fixed his mind upon the lotus feet of Krishna. He engaged his words, vacha, in glorifying, describing the glories of Krishna, the Vaikuntha Gun, Anuvarnane, the transcendental qualities and attributes of Lord Krishna. He always engaged his hands in cleaning the Hari Mandir, Hari Mandir Marjan, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna. Satkata. He's always hearing Satkata, not Gramikata. Gramikata means temporary village talks, newspaper talk, politics, sports, world events, local city news, national news. Gramikata, useless, temporary topics. Satkata. He always heard these things. And he was Achyuta Satkata, eternal transcendental talks about Achyuta Sri Krishna, or the direct words of Sri Krishna. Text 19. Mukundalinga layadarshane drisho tadvritya gatra sparshenga sangamam Granam chatat para saroja sorobhe Shrimat tulasya rasanam tararpite. Maharaj Ambarish engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna. Mukundalinga alaya darshan. And seeing the deity in temples and holy dhams of Mukunda. Seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's places, like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his senses, sense of touch, and touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. Gatra Sparshe, Anga Sangamam. And engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to Krishna, and engaged his tongue in tasting Krishna prasad. Text 20. Pado harer kshetra padanusarpane shiro rishikesha padambi vandane kamam chachasye Natu kama kamya ya yutottama shloka janashraya rati. Maharaj engaged his legs in walking to the holy places like Vrindavan and Dwarka and the temples of the Lord. And his head and bowing down before Rishikesh, Lord Krishna, the master of the senses, engaged all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Amrish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. Amrish engaged all his senses in devotional service and various engagements relating to the Lord. This is a way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. He was so engaged in bhakti, he became extremely attached to Krishna and detached from all sense enjoyment. Although he was reigning as the emperor of the earth, he offered all the results of his activities to Krishna, the supreme enjoyer. Various rishis like Vasishtha, Asitamuni, and Gotam were engaged by Amrish in elaborate yagyas. But within his heart, privately, he was always engaged in bhakti. The citizens in Amrish's kingdom were always hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And even they didn't want anything but service to the Lord. He felt such transcendental happiness serving the Lord. He didn't care for any mystic perfections. He and his wife, Amrish and his wife, once observed the back-to-back twin vows of Ekadasi and Dwadasi for 1 year. In Kartik, they were completing that vow in Madhavan, Vrindavan. And they worshipped Aditi with the Mahabhishek. Did all the appropriate rituals and made so many donations. Fed all the brahmanas. Srivasta Muni appeared as an Atithi Narayan, uninvited guest. Amrish offered dandavats and sat at his feet and properly received Srivasta Muni. Before accepting the invitation that Amrish gave him to honor the feast, Srivasta Muni bathed in Jamuna and meditated for a long time. There was only a half hour left before the breaking time for Ekadasi, or rather Dwadasi, was there. In order to get the proper result of his 1 year and his vow, Amrish had to drink some water. So he consulted the brahmanas. He was perplexed. If I drink water before the Brahman, maybe it's an offense. But if I don't drink water at least to break my nirjal brat, then it's nishfal. There's no result. The Brahman said, you can take a little water, but don't eat anything until Durvasa returns. Because according to Shastra, drinking water can be seen as fasting or not fasting. Well, Durvasa came back, and by his power of mind, he understood that Amrish had drunk some water without his permission. He got very angry and started chastising him. He says, you're not a devotee. You're a miscreant. I'll punish you. So, per usual, Srivasta Muni pulled out some hair from his head and chanted some mantras, created a demon, and who came to terrorize Amrish. Amrish didn't go anywhere. He didn't even run because he was fully surrendered to Vishnu. He was not even fearful. Sudarshan arrived at the spot and destroyed that demon, demolished him, burned him to ashes to protect the devotee Amrish. And then the chakra went to chase Durvasa. And he ran in all directions. He was only an inch away from his back. He fled everywhere. The brilliant burning effulgence of that chakra was frightening him. Durvasa went to Brahma and said, "Please help me." He said, "I can't. This is Vishnu's chakra." They went to Shiva. And Shiva, "I can't do anything. This is Vishnu's chakra. You have to go to him." Then he went to Vaikuntha. And he begged mercy from Lord Narayan. He said, "Listen, I know I'm an offender. And please protect me. Save me from my offense to this great devotee." And the Supreme Lord Vishnu said, "Listen, Durvasa Muni, I control my devotees. I control my devotees. You've offended them. You must go to him and beg him to forgive you. Then you will find peace and the Sudarshan will stop chasing you." There's some very famous verses in that section where Lord Vishnu is glorifying the intimate position that his pure devotees have. He bhakta Bhagavan, Bhagavan bhakta sambandha, prem sambandha, how near and dear Krishna's devotees are to the Lord. Most famous verse, of course, Prabhupada often quotes, 9th canto, chapter 4, 68. It's directly spoken by Lord Vishnu, teaching Durvasa Muni about how exalted and powerful devotees are, even if they are seemingly attached grihasthas or kings, vast empires as big as the earth. If they're surrendered Krishna bhaktas or Vishnu bhaktas, they're more exalted than the greatest tapabalam yogis, the greatest vairagis like Durvasa. They're personally protected by the Lord. They're verily residing inside the core of the Lord's heart, so intimately and so tightly connected in a loving pact with the Lord, a pact of surrender and faith and service. Lord Vishnu said at that time to Durvasa Muni, "Sadavo ridiyam maiham sadunam ridiyam tvaham madanyate najananti naham te bhyo managapi." Durvasa, pure devotees like Ambarish Maharaj are always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the core of the hearts of the pure devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Upon receiving this advice from Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, Durvasa Muni went and shamefully fell at the feet of Maharaj Ambarish, begging for forgiveness. Then Ambarish addressed the Sudarshan Chakra, "O great weapon of the Lord, O protector of the universe, please release this Brahmana from your burning heat." Sudarshan was pacified by Ambarish's prayers and desisted from burning up Durvasa Muni any further. Durvasa Muni was amazed at the mind and heart of Vishnu's devotees, and he said, "Listen, today I've really seen the extent of the greatness of Vishnu Bhaktas. Although I've offended you and caused you so much difficulty, you have prayed for my protection, good fortune. Actually, Vishnu Bhaktas can do anything to please their Lord. Actually, Ambarish Maharaj, for relieving me of this offense, I am very indebted to you." The amazing thing was, while Durvasa Muni was traveling all over the universe to Brahmaloka and Kailash and Vishnuloka, a whole year had passed. And there was, although it was maybe a few moments, but a whole year went by in Earth time. And during that whole entire year, Ambarish was standing in exactly the same spot that he was when Durvasa Muni departed. And he hadn't eaten any food or drink. He'd only taken some water to maintain his existence, just so he would not eat before the great Rishi. So after forgiving this Durvasa Muni, Ambarish fed him sumptuously, very palatable food. Then that great Rishi said, "My dear king, please take your prasadam. You're such an exalted devotee, Ambarish. By seeing you, touching you, or talking with you, I become obliged. When people of the world hear about your wonderful behavior, they always chant your glories eternally. Even the women, celestial women, will sing of your character." After some time, Durvasa Muni took his leave and returned, went flying off to Brahmaloka. After seeing this event, Ambarish realized how he had become so powerful because of the mercy of the Lord. Nevertheless, he didn't take any credit for himself, because everything was the mercy and arrangement of the Lord. After some time, he gave up his kingdom to his children, his sons, and went to the forest, took vanaprastha, renounced life, and spent the balance of his life in the forest, deeply meditating on the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Ambarish Maharaj Ki Jai.